Is the sun shining this morning? If you were to spell that S-U-N, from our vantage point, the sun is not shining. But if you spell that S-O-N, especially thinking about the Son of God, then the sun is shining. He wants to shine even in our own lives. We are continuing in a series of lessons about preaching Jesus. Last Sunday, we talked about where have you put Jesus? And in the conclusion came to the idea that we need to put him up, we need to put him in, and we need to put him on. Today, as we continue this series based on Jesus, we're going to Acts the 14th chapter in verse 13, Acts 14:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Notice that latter part of the statement. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. There was something about Peter and John that said to the people who were observing them that they had some kind of relationship with Jesus. The pronoun they, describing those that were observing them, most likely refers back to verse 5 where it says that on the morrow the rulers and the elders and the scribes came together. And even the high priest and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, those that were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. That's the group that was together. And they're the ones that were going to try to hinder Peter and John in their work. But when they observe Peter and John, the statement is made that we read as the text, that they took knowledge or took note that they had been with Jesus. Few times in my life I have gone to Michigan to conduct a gospel meeting. And people would say, we can tell that you are from the South. Because I had grown up in the South, had been associated with people in the South, and talked like people talked from the South. When some of our relatives came home, relatives that lived in Michigan, we, especially my grandfather and grandmother Flat, thought that they talked funny. And it wasn't hard to tell that they were from the North. There is a section, particularly in Maine and New England, where if a person's from there and he's talking to you about his car and is talking about some other words, he'll change it. He takes the car or the R off of car and he'll say ca, and then add the R to places that it shouldn't be. And immediately I identify him as being from that part of the country. Several times during life when my wife was living, I would come in from having visited and she would say, you have been with people who were smoking. I've never smoked. I've never tasted the first puff. But when I walked in, she could smell smoke because I had been around those who were smoking. The story is told of a little boy whose parents had separated and were living in different houses. The little boy lived with the father part of the time and the mother part of the time. His teacher at school said, I can tell you on Monday morning where this young man spent the weekend. The reality of the situation was that one of his parents was very, very kind and considerate. The other parent was very, very harsh with words and actions. And if the little boy spent some time with the one that was kind and considerate, the teacher could tell when he came to school on Monday morning. Or if he had spent some time with the other parent, she could tell. Have you ever said or heard said that a husband and wife who've lived together for 50 years begin to look like each other? I don't really think they look like each other any more than they did when they were married. But they have become more like each other. And when you look at one of them, you see the other. We become a part of those whom we meet. And it affects our relationship with others, and they many times can see in us qualities and likenesses of someone else. When I go back to my home county, almost every time I go, someone will say to me, "You look like your dad." And when I look at myself in the mirror today, I understand what they mean. Not only do I have physical traits of my dad, but I have other traits of him. And I find myself doing something or saying something or maybe making gestures that I remember my dad making when he was alive. And it's not unusual and it's understandable that someone would say to me, "You look like your dad." If you are a Christian this morning, do you look like Jesus? Would there be anybody in your life today or tomorrow who meets you and is associated with you who would say the same thing that was said about Peter and John, that they noticed that they had been with Jesus? When your neighbor observes you in your actions and listens to you with your words, would they conclude that your association has been with Jesus? Or maybe with just the opposite? Have you been with Jesus? It goes without saying today that you and I cannot spend time with Jesus in the same way that Peter and John did. They were apostles. The qualification for an apostle given at the selection of Matthias in Acts 1 was that it be someone who had been with Jesus from the time of the beginning of his personal ministry until he ascended. Someone who had been associated with Jesus. So we know that Peter and John had been associated with Jesus. And even these people before whom they are appearing had not been with Jesus very much. They at least knew who he was and evidently knew something about him, enough at least to compare Peter and John to him, or to make the statement that they had been with him. Would it be said about you and me that people took notice that we had been with Jesus? I mentioned in one of the previous sermons of a week or so ago the story about a lady who befriended the little poor boy and who had the little boy look up at her and ask, "Are you God's wife?" I heard another story somewhat parallel to that of where a man had done many good things to help this little boy, and the little boy looked up at him and said, "Are you Jesus?" There was something about that man and what he had done to reach out to this young man that caused the young man to think about Jesus and to think that what he was seeing in the life of that person was something that reminded him of Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Having said that we cannot be with him literally in life as were the apostles, let's raise the question, how can we spend time with Jesus? How can we conduct our lives in such a way that someone's going to look at us and think we have been with Jesus? I would suggest 5 ideas this morning and ask each of us, you and even myself, to think about these in a personal way. We can be with Jesus by spending more time in prayer. Jesus is said to be the intercessor for us in Hebrews 7:25. He is said to be the mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. And after having said in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, it is said in verse 34 that Jesus also makes intercession for us. Our prayers are almost always closed with the words, "in Jesus' name," or something that means that. And even if we were not to use those words, I think all of us understand that our prayers are to be made through Jesus. We were talking about the Holy Spirit to some extent this morning in Bible study, noticing the words there that describe him as a comforter and as an advocate. And I thought as we discussed that there is a sense in which Jesus stands with us as a lawyer to intercede for us. A lawyer stands by alongside his client. And if he is a good lawyer, and if everything is in order, he is there to speak for that client. And he stands alongside him. And one of the first things that a person will usually say if he's arrested, and there's an indication that he's going to be charged of something, is that I need to get a lawyer. He understands that he needs someone who is better qualified to speak and to explain the situation than he is. And I think that's exactly what Jesus does as an intercessor for us, and what the Spirit does as an intercessor for us. There is a statement made there in Romans 8 in connection with the Spirit being the intercessor, that he makes intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. And that's been misunderstood and misinterpreted to say that the Spirit is speaking to us in groanings that we can't understand. The text doesn't say that. The text says he's speaking to God on behalf of us. And if you'll analyze it, what it's saying, and this applies to Jesus also as an intercessor, he is speaking to God at times when we have difficulty putting what we want to say in words. You've experienced that, haven't you? When you were trying to say something and explain something, and you've even said, "Well, I just can't find the words to say what I want to say." I believe that's what is involved in Christ being an intercessor for us. And when we spend time in prayer, if we really understand what's taking place, we understand that we're spending some time with Jesus, and that with him and through him, we are praying to God to let our needs be known. As you well know, I spend a lot of time by myself. I wish it were otherwise. I don't really enjoy being alone all the time. But there are times when each one of us needs to be alone as far as other people are concerned. Even Jesus, when he was living, would go out into the sea on a boat to get away from the multitude, or he would go up into the mountains to pray. And even in his great prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, took 3 apostles a little farther and then left them and went on a little farther and prayed to God. He, at that moment, though he appreciated the support of his apostles, He wanted to be there with just his father. And you and I need to learn to use more time when we are alone, except that we have Christ with us to intercede for us and the Spirit to intercede for us. And if I'm at home alone and I'm praying to God, there is a comfort in knowing that there is a sense in which Jesus is with me. I don't mean a mysterious sense. Our knowledge of that's through the Word. But when you and I spend time in prayer, there is a sense in which we are spending time with Jesus. And I'll guarantee you that it will have an effect on our lives. And that people will see the good qualities in our lives better than if we don't pray as we should. Number two, I believe we can spend some time with Jesus by reliving his life and walking with him. Again, I don't mean in some mysterious, better felt than told idea, but letting him become a part of our lives in which we walk with him each day. And there are some specific ideas presented in the Bible about how we literally do walk with Jesus, or maybe I should say figuratively walk with Jesus. Most of us in the building this morning have been baptized. When you were baptized, you walked with Jesus. You were buried with him in baptism, Colossians 2:12, and buried with him by baptism into him and into his death, Romans 6:3-5. You obeyed the form of doctrine of Romans 6:17, that doctrine being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And how many times down through the years have you heard a preacher say, when you're baptized, you go back and relive what Jesus went through. He died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. You and I die to sin, we're buried in baptism, we're resurrected. And though all of us, and younger ones a bit more, have an incomplete understanding of what's happening at that time, we ought to be able to at least understand that I am walking back with Christ and walking through this form of the death, burial, and resurrection. There's a sense in which we walk with Jesus as we go through the act of being baptized. This morning, when we observe the Lord's Supper, the bread and the fruit of the vine, isn't there a sense in which we relived the life of Jesus, and specifically that part of his life? We prayed that as we took the bread, we would remember his body that he sacrificed on the cross. We prayed as we observed the fruit of the vine that we would remember his blood that was shed. There is a sense in which, as we have said so many times, he became that substitute sacrifice for us. And so today you and I do not have to go to a cross and be slain and shed our blood, but we remember him in the observance of the Lord's Supper as having done that for us. And so there is that sense in which we walked with Jesus even this morning as we observe the Lord's Supper. I had the opportunity in 1985 to visit the Bible lands. I had the opportunity to walk in the same area where Jesus walked, visit the area where he was born, visit the area where he died. I don't know that we visited the exact place, but it was in that area, I'm sure of that. And I can say to you that there was something very positive about being able to walk and think in terms, I'm walking on the same streets or at least in the same area where Jesus walked. There is a section there where he supposedly went from one area to another in carrying his cross. And we made that walk. I think I have a little bit better understanding, having been able to do that at least had it impressed upon my thinking a little more to have walked in the area where he walked. Most of you have not been able to do that. But when you spend some time in this book, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're sitting reading about Jesus going from place to place, and especially if you study it to have sort of a picture in your mind of that part of the world, there is a sense in which you are walking with Jesus as you are reading his word, and reading about his life and what he did. The more time you spend in the Word, the more you will have walked with Jesus, and the more likely, think about this, the more likely somebody's going to think of you as having been with Jesus. Not necessarily in the sense that they count how many verses you can quote or have memorized. And sometimes there are those that try seemingly to impress people with how many verses they know and how much they know about the Bible. But you will be impressed with the fact that they've had to spend some time walking with the Lord in his word to know that word. And even without opening their mouths, as that becomes a part of their lives, you can see that they have been with Jesus. How many times have you heard a statement made at the funeral of a fine Christian man that he was a man of God? That's probably one of the greatest compliments that can be made to a man, even to a preacher. And many times I've been present at the funeral service of a preacher and that statement was made, he was a man of God. What does that mean? It means that we recognize that this man has spent a lot of time in God's Word. It has become a part of him. He has walked with Jesus in that sense. And then in the third way, and we've almost been touching on this in this last point, people will notice that you have been with Jesus when they see you applying his Word in your life. Even in business dealings, they notice that you are honest and that if you make a mistake, you'll come back and try to correct it to the best of your ability. In school, in the teacher-student relationship, in the home, in all of those relationships, on the job. Don't you think that people notice if you've been with Jesus? Do you not notice a difference in lives of people with whom you work? Perhaps you have entertained the thought that I'm pretty sure this person has spent some time in the Bible and knows about Christ, and maybe you think of another person, well, evidently this person doesn't know anything about Christian qualities. You may not have thought of it in the sense that one's been with Jesus and the other one has not, but that's really what the situation is. You're noticing that there is an effect upon that person's life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. That's just before talking about our singing. And just before saying in verse 17, do all that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the word of Christ dwell in you. It becomes a part of you. And believe you me, people will notice that when they see it. I believe we spend some time with Jesus by spending time with his people. And if I can get this point across this morning, it is something that can be very helpful. Sometimes we don't like for the preacher to preach on the subject of attendance. And the question will be asked many times, do I have to attend every service or do I have to be there on a regular basis? And to me, that's missing the point. You see, one of the benefits that I get from coming to a service such as this And I hope I never go to a worship service just to be the preacher. Something I get is by association with God's people. I have experienced more than once in my life, especially on a Wednesday night, find that I don't feel well. And I'll go on to worship, and by studying God's Word, which we've just been talking about, and spending time with God's people, I find that I feel better when I'm through than I did when I came. There is something about being with God's people that makes a difference. You're aware of Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And we preachers and all of us have used that down through the years to emphasize the need of not forsaking the assemblies, although there may be times when we have to miss, and there's a difference in missing and forsaking. But I think we've missed the point in Hebrews 10:25. In fact, if you'll read that verse closely, that verse is not there for us to encourage people to attend. Notice what it says, we're to attend to encourage. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why are we coming? To exhort one another. And back up to verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke. Normally the word provoke is negative, but here it's positive. To provoke unto love and good works. I am convinced that I am more likely to love as I should and to do good works as I should if I'm with the people of God on a regular basis. I think that means spending some time with Jesus. Does not the Bible teach us to let our light shine and that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth? Salt particularly involves giving a taste. Where are you going to get the taste that's in your life? If you don't get it with God's people, where are you going to get it? Have you been with Jesus? And if we're all honest and look at the situation, we are aware and have been aware on many occasions of people who begin to not be regular in their association with God's people. And look at what happens to them in life. Look at the effect. I don't mean we're going to be perfect if we come together on a regular basis. We all have our mistakes and shortcomings. But I am totally convinced that I will be a better person this coming week because I have been with you this morning in this setting. And will be with you every reasonable time I can. And I use that word reasonable by choice because there are some things beyond our control. But we spend time with Jesus by spending time with His people in worship. And I believe we spend time with Jesus when we serve other people. We have an obligation to teach. The Great Commission gives us that. If you and I use opportunities that we have this week to tell others about Christ and about God and about salvation, as we are teaching, I believe we're spending time with Jesus. And the basic reason I believe that is in the giving of that Great Commission in Matthew's account, he said, if you do this, I am with you. Now, if he's with me, am I not spending time with him? Here again, it's not going to be that he's physically sitting there by me or standing by me, but he says, as long as you are teaching my word and helping others, I will be with you, spending time with him. I think the same thing is true as far as benevolent work. You and I have an opportunity to befriend somebody. It might be feeding him. It might be just a cup of cold water. It might be just helping an older lady across the street or opening a door for someone. But is not the concept there throughout the Bible that as you and I are serving other people, that Jesus is with us? I know this. In Matthew 25, he said, every time you're doing this to the least of these, you're doing it to me. And if we're doing it to him, that almost proves that he's with us, doesn't it? As we're trying to be good and do good. And that's the description of Jesus' life. He went about doing good. I submit to you that we are spending time with Jesus. Five things I've said. You can spend time with Jesus in prayer. You can spend time with him in reliving his life, especially through the word. You can spend time with him as you go out and apply that word in your life. You can spend time with him when you spend time with his people in worship. And you can spend time with him when you spend time helping others in service. Now let me get a bit personal. Have you been with Jesus? As we have talked about these things, are you spending the time with Jesus that you ought to? And I would guess that every last one of us who's here this morning could, if honest, say, I need to spend more time with Jesus. I don't think he wants us to be down on our knees 24/7. I don't think he wants us to be reading the Bible every hour of the day without doing some other things that are a part of life. I think God's reasonable. I think Christ is reasonable. Perhaps there is a sense in which all of us can do more, but let's not become so guilt-stricken by that idea that we forget what real Christianity is about. We need to spend time with Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, if we do, the people with whom we come in contact may not say the words, but may think the same thing that was said about Peter and John. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. You cannot be with Jesus unless you're a Christian. And you're not with him in the right way unless you're a faithful Christian. That's why even the extending of the invitation fits into this subject. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe, repent, and be baptized into Christ to be with him. If you are a Christian and you haven't really been with Jesus as you should in walking with him, do something about that. If it's something you need to change privately, work that out between you and God. If it's something you need to take care of publicly, you need to come and prayer be made. If either is your need to help you be closer to Jesus, come as together we stand and sing.